Hey everyone, this is Tony Holbein. You are listening to The Revenue Formula. In today's episode, we're going to discuss how outbound is three times harder than it used to be and realistically what you can do about it. Enjoy. Heyo!
And it's not even Monday.
It's a Tuesday today.
It's a Tuesday.
Oh, it's an off week.
I know, it's so funny. I had so Dave Gerhardt, he's a big marketing guy. He posted about podcasting yesterday on his LinkedIn. He was close to, you know, quitting several times, burnout, did 4 to 5 episodes in 1 week. I was like, whew, yeah, that's a lot.
I do 4 episodes a week.
I said to him, what I'm really happy about is we've gotten into this ritual of recording Mondays, head into the studio first thing, record an episode or two. You're super productive. You already started the week like sprinting. That's really epic. So doing this on a Tuesday just feels wrong.
Is that why you have a soda here now?
Yeah, it's some brand placement, marketing Danish soda. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get dinged.
No one
Apple
else
now.
On the planet nah. knows what Faxacondi is,
and
by
you
the
can't
way.
Get it nowhere else on the
yeah,
planet.
Yeah, because
probably.
It's
called like Mountain Dew.
No, that's everywhere else called Sprite.
Yeah, true. No, Mountain Dew is probably more app.
So what's on the menu today,
I'm
Mikkel?
I'm just going to say how I'm going to stitch this segue together. Well, we're going to talk a bit about outbound, actually. Mm-hmm. We've been noticing, as of late, quite a bit of chatter on LinkedIn, specifically, that outbound is not really working for a lot of folks.
I mean, so this whole outbound is dead. It's been around, I don't know, since the dark ages, I feel. Right? I think outbound is dead. That's a boring message.
Yeah.
I think there's a more sophisticated conversation happening right now, which is drilling a little bit into why it's not working anymore and, you know, what some of the symptoms are actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that is a more interesting conversation to have.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think you know, some of the things people are noticing out there, response rates dropping. This is not data backed. By the way, so just, you know, we didn't fact check it or write it on Wiki or anything, but response rates are down, but we didn't change the approach. And then there's cases where the outbound leader or the team gets, you know, sacked, and then they restart, they try more personalization, and probably what they mean is we added more unique identifiers like F name
and AI
title and AI, you know, stuff like that. So just I guess making it more relatable and not, you know.
I think there's a whole war of attrition going on, really leveraging tech to a large degree. Yeah. This is also Jaco's and Sam's talk track. They're really talking about like, well, you're going to use all of that AI, you're going to use all of those email tools. Guess what? Every single email is so cheap to produce. Everyone is going to produce a bunch of emails.
Yeah.
And they're going to bombard, you know, the few buyers that remain.
The poor buyers.
And obviously, what are they going to do? They're going to ramp up their spam detection, and they're going to just try and every single name that they don't recognize in their email inbox, trying to get rid of it. Basically.
Yeah. And I mean, I also have a made-up stat here that 99% of outbound is really subpar and over-reliant on vanilla email sequences as well. So that's a thing, I guess. At least I'm seeing more and more emails go like subject line, time for a quick 30-minute discovery call. It's like, that's not quick.
Or Mikkel, comma.
The good old days.
But the I think it's not only that 99% of that is you know, subpar. It's also just more volume.
Yeah.
That's why it's leading, you know, maybe a year or two ago, was maybe only 90% was subpar, or maybe 80% was only subpar. But now the volume has just been ramped up so much that, you know, the whole, you know, signal to noise ratio is just leaning all noise. It's very difficult for anyone with an email inbox to read anything anymore.
Yeah. And when they can't even spell my name right, then it's like, pass. I would have booked a meeting with you, but now.
Yeah. I mean, my name is usually spelled with a Y.
Yeah.
But what's your problem?
I got one today and it was totally messed up. I've never seen anything like it, actually.
Is it like, Mike or what?
No, it's like M-I-E-H-K-E-L. I was like,
no, I think they just sent it to the wrong email address.
No, it was AI. The AI messed up. That's what happened. So the thing is, we've talked in the past about you need to find a channel that works, right? We've talked about that stuff. Outbound is one of the most prevalent channels out there for a reason. It's not that you and I, we're, you know, we're super passionate. We, you know, sit at night just think about, oh, outbound is so wonderful. I mean, you and I, we also sit on the receiving end.
I just now had, you know, myself was an outbound opportunity I was working on and was fantastic. It was fantastic. Kind of really kind of leaning into this, like having this conversation, learning a lot from, you know, all the resistance come back.
Yeah.
I think when you kind of lean into this outbound motion, you hear people zone out.
Yeah.
You need to, I mean, that happens a lot, right? Yeah. You need to take a note. It's like, okay, that talk track, I'm going to scratch that out forever because everyone falls asleep
to
it.
To me, yeah.
And everyone else who's like, oh, you know, I want to really inbound on Roblox. And then, you know, it actually doesn't help you that much. Anyway, sorry, this was like a personal story.
So Ray Reich, he obviously loves stats.
Yeah.
And he has a ton of them. And I digged up some here and, you know, they served a ton of companies and half of the companies, they generate 30% of their pipeline from sales development. Just putting it out there into the world that it's actually a thing. And 25% of the surveyed companies generate more than half from sales development. So you should pay attention to this. I mean, it works for a reason, right? And I went and asked, we have a gentleman on our team called Anton. So he's like the good old SDR leader, really, you know, dialed in with sales. And obviously also worked with a couple of our customers, I believe, on this area. And I said, hey, what, you know, you are connected in this area. What's going on right now? And he's like, well, you know, more folks are struggling. Outbound requires more work, but it still works if you do it right.
Yeah.
That was like the takeaway.
I think this other stat here is, I think it's really interesting. Not a single player north of 40 million in ARR achieved that level without over 50% of pipeline coming from outbound.
Mm.
Isn't fucking nuts?
Yeah. Crazy.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, even PLG companies, you see an outbound motion.
Yeah, well, of course.
Of them. So that is really why we're going to talk about outbound today. Maybe you are struggling right now. The team is struggling. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about building it up. We need to talk about this subject today.
Yes, I think there's another stat that we maybe kind of forgot to mix in. So Jeremy something something from Inside Partners.
Mm.
Jeremy.
Okay, yeah.
You don't know him?
No, I had beer with... No, I don't know.
Okay. You know what? Pablo's buddy.
Yeah.
He published a stat, and I've now seen this exact same stat being picked up in like 5 or 10 different LinkedIn posts afterwards. Today, apparently, you need 1,000 to 1,200 touches across obviously multiple accounts in order to book one opportunity versus 300 to 400 touches just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So... I would treat that stat with a bit of care.
Yeah,
I'm not 1,000% kind of sure, because if you really break it down to mid-market European activity standards, when you kind of break it down like that, and let's just say you do 100 touches a day, right? That means you basically need 2 weeks to book one opportunity, right? You have 10 working days in 2 weeks, and you know, 10 times 100 is 1,000 touches, and that gives you one opportunity. Yeah. And I don't think that's true. What I do believe, though, is true is the ratio between those two. Like 300 to 400, now it's 1,000 to 1,200.
Yeah.
And did it get 3x more difficult? I think so.
Yeah.
I actually think so, especially kind of using those email guns, you know, sales loft and outreach. Yeah. Super simple. They automatically do the, you know, LinkedIn view and the LinkedIn connect.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All of these things are part of this, right? Kind of that makes that number more achievable, I would say. But generally speaking, I think where the problem really is it has gotten a lot more difficult to achieve the same outcome like you used to before, right?
I think it's also like there's a ton of the work that needs to happen that you don't see. So, you know, we were kind of joking a bit around the personalization. I think the reason outbound can be a wonderful tool is it's a human being that can sit down and research who you are, what the business is. They can talk with you, listen, and actually respond to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. If you're doing cold email, even just email marketing, and you call it personalization, it's usually a matter of using what attributes you have on the record and then ingesting them, right?
Yeah.
But that's not really personal, as in, hey, a critical event happened in the industry. Let's talk about it, right? And I think that is the superpower of some of this stuff where we get lost in the tactics.
Yes. And I think it was KD recently. He said, sales ruined sales.
Yeah.
And he said, I said it 2 years ago and now we're here. sales finally ruined sales. Because I think it is a superpower. I think it's super great to have outbound conversation. Yeah, sure, it's a bit more awkward. I get it. I personally, you know, I'm not a phone fan, but I know phone works, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those channels that only humans right now can use, right? So let's not forget, let's also kind of have, there's a channel here and it's a high throughput channel also, right? Mm. Kind of having a conversation, if you were to measure that in bits and bytes, that's a lot of information versus an email not being read.
But there's also boundaries to it, and probably I should have used this in the intro now that I think about it. But the other day, we got a cold outbound on insurance. Super common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, sure, let's try and get an offer and see if we can cut the costs, right? Then we're like, so when can I come by your home and visit you? And I just was like, no, you're not going to come by. No. Just send an offer on email and then, you know, be gone. Anyway, so what are folks to do?
The solution.
Wait, let's get practical now. We've spent, 10 minutes beating around the bush here.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot that needs to be improved and has more focus on the playbook itself.
Yeah.
Right? So what are the emails you're sending to whom? Mm. You need to put more effort in this stuff, right? And I think to a large degree, it's whom are you really targeting and focusing? Almost think about it like ABM, right? Yeah. So at scale, ABM, and this is more so a US play than it is a European play, but ABM doesn't mean one-to-one or one-to-many. It means 1 to 1,000.
Yeah.
That's how the bigger players in the US are currently running ABM. So account-based marketing, targeted emails, campaigns, all of that stuff, whatever they can find that is outboundy, which isn't that much for marketing. So that's also a problem there. But they're basically tailoring towards segments of an area, right? And they're putting a lot of effort into selecting those 1,000 accounts.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of work goes into account selection that I think a lot of people are skipping over. And then, in this churn and burn world of, SDRs just firing emails off to everyone, you basically almost don't have the luxury to go into account selection and really be thoughtful about this.
And
right?
Even just the creation. They're going to go, hey, we pulled it from Zoom Info, we're good.
Yeah.
And then Mikkel's name comes out wrong.
Yes. And I think there's a ton more work that probably should be spent on this. I haven't tried it yet, but people should almost be thinking more and more about, books of businesses for SDRs versus I can just, throw this back into the pool and get more. There is a balance here, depending on how many people you can even talk to in an account. But if you're a company that has maybe 5 or 10 potential persons you could speak to in an account, that's a lot of work that needs to go into this, right? And then being thoughtful about this, not sending the typical, random email, but really understanding what resonates with each of the different personas and then, crafting something around. And I think, sure, there is somewhere here where AI can help. I'm sure. I don't know. I haven't seen those tools. But at the end of the day, kind of, finding messaging that cuts through the inbox, through your LinkedIn, through whatever, I think that's really important, right? And ideally, you want to do that with a bit of, my old boss said it like that, either background radiation or like carpet bombing from marketing around it, right? So if you have seen that logo pop up a couple of times, if you've seen like Tony in your stream before and suddenly Tony's on your inbox, there's a little bit of, brand equity, if you will, that entices you to, what are these guys talking about, right? And I think people forget that, right? I think you need to be, the playbook needs to be a little bit more integrated, maybe a lot more integrated. And I think the thoughtfulness in the account selection needs to go way up, right? And then once you invest so much time into the account selection, you then need to have very clean messaging and you need to add, you need to educate your SDRs on this. Like, what is the messaging that works for, marketing manager versus director of versus VP of versus whatever? And, have that differentiation there. Now, the next thing on top then is almost like, well, can you expect that kind of work from folks just out of college? I don't know, actually. I'm not sure if that part of the equation still fully works out like this. But generally speaking, right, be more purposeful about what you select instead of just random throwing stuff out there.
Yeah. I think the other interesting piece is also you almost have these two separate entities that have not really been working together, right? Outbound and then marketing. But if you have a really solid pitch and I'm pitching you here in this scenario. And they're like, okay, let me just check it out if I even bother continue the conversation. And I said to you, we're a whatever SaaS company, and you go to the website and it's entirely different. That's not going to be very helpful, is it? And so there's, you know, while marketing needs to support, you also need to make sure that you don't have that kind of misalignment that actually comes and bites you.
I mean, I would almost say, so maybe there's some, you know, argument evolving here where SDRs maybe should be sitting more on a marketing.
Yes. Give them to me.
No. Do you know what? Actually, it changed my mind. It should be marketing sitting on the VP of sales.
Damn it.
So I think there's some stuff that, you know, needs to happen on the integration side, and you need to find ways to cut through, right? And I think one way is to have a really well orchestrated, executed playbook. I think another one is you need to be better at figuring out what is the pain at the person that you're sending the information to. And this is, you know, you can either slice it into like, is it a need to have? Is it a nice to have kind of thing? But it's also what is their day-to-day pain? Mm. You know, what is it that you can tap into? And if you are super high up, it's like, oh, it's about, you know, hitting revenue targets. I think everyone is zoning out because everyone has that problem and everyone doesn't have that problem. It's kind of, it's too far away.
Yeah.
You need to be like, oh no, it's because you can't see this connected to that, which leads to this problem.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be extremely targeted and relevant, basically. And ideally, and I think this is also kind of a thing to consider, I don't think in the first email you need to create a case for why someone needs to spend $50,000 on something. Mm. The first email is the purpose to get to the first call. Yeah. The first call is the purpose to get to the next call. It's like Dave Gerhardt's copywriting advice or wherever you got this from. It's like the first line that you write has the purpose of getting people to the next line.
Yep. Yeah, it's so true.
And then when you add the next line, you might, you know, the purpose might be to get them to the next paragraph.
Yeah.
And that's how you need to think about those emails as well, right? Those emails don't need to build the case for 50K ACV. They need to be like, oh, fuck, this is a problem I have, actually. Yeah. Kind of let me read into this, right? And I think that, you know, that can be, that obviously needs to be connected to what you do as an organization. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't need to be a front and center messaging. Now, that might create some kind of a conflict when the person then clicks on this link and lands somewhere and maybe you want to have a different landing page. I don't know. I don't want to get so tactical at this. But really, the idea is, you know, how do you get people to open the email?
Mm.
I mean, and this is basic stuff, right? Everyone sees this in outreach. What is the open rate and so forth?
Yeah.
And then how do you get from there, you know, once you had those 7 seconds that they give you, So I saw this recently, and this is like an old thing. People scan the first line of your email, and then they scan the start of every paragraph, and then they close.
Yeah, if right? reading pattern.
Yeah, and if you don't hit them there, and kind of you're not interesting, not in the first line, and not in the first start of the paragraphs, you've lost them basically.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then there are like thousands of pundits out there on like, oh, you know, it should be like a... you know, a messaging kind of thing. It should be like this formula. It should be like that formula. It's like, I don't know what it is, but that's almost kind of how you need to approach it.
Yeah. And by the way, so we had an episode with Chris Orlop.
Yeah.
And there was a ton of very tactical advice, not just on, let's say, SDR outbound to book meetings, but one of the areas was on the whole pain. What you think is the pain is actually not the pain, right? So this whole coaching is not a pain.
Yeah.
So go back and listen to that if you want to get some more tactical stuff for your playbook. That was a pretty solid one.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically kind of selling Gong. I mean, not on this call, but kind of he was referring to that, right? And obviously Gong is coaching software to a large degree.
Yeah.
Now does way more. Udi, I hope I didn't upset you.
Yeah.
But basically kind of one of the main points was coaching, but coaching is never the issue. The issue is behind that. It's like not hitting sales targets, not hitting whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, then the next thing is obviously, well, let's cut it. Let's just cut it out. It's not working.
Yeah.
So I think people are rightly so careful with it. I do see teams sizing down, but in proportion to other areas of the team as well. So it's not just outbound being slashed. I think you need to do basically a little bit of a revenue impact analysis on that stuff. I think it's always super simple, super easy to just cut out the SDR team because, hey, they're, you know, young, they're inexperienced, they're running around, they're kind of screwing up.
Yeah.
So that's the first ones to go, basically. But you need to kind of have a better understanding of what is it that they supply versus what is what you get from other sources. And, you know, what I see in the customer base and talking to a bunch of people, people are more comfy with the marketing side because, oh, you know, it's just a credit card and a bunch of intelligent people with glasses and they help with that stuff. Yeah. That only care about fonts and colors, though. But you might end up paying four times as much for the opportunity than you pay for outbound. And I think a lot of people don't actually see that, don't realize that.
Yeah.
And that's actually where some of the issues are sometimes coming from, right? And then ultimately, I think, and I've done this recently actually with someone, you basically take the revenue formula of the SDR team. You write it all down, kind of how many calls they're going to make, how many opportunities they're going to book, how those opportunities convert, for how much, for how long, and blah, blah, blah. And then you need to get to a specific output number at the end. But there are like five different levers you can pull in order to get there, right? Yeah. And that specific customer, there was like, hey, our ACV isn't high enough to support outbound, but they had really great conversion rates, right? Really great conversion rates. So I was saying, yes, you know, Mikkel and I, we talk a lot about, well, in order for outbound to work, you need to be 9K, ideally 10K ACV. Yeah. I think the thinking now in the market is going to 30K ACV, by the way, just saying. Yeah. But if you get to, you know, let's say 7K ACV or 3K ACV, but you have amazing conversion rates for whatever reason,
yeah,
that can still work out, right? Yeah. So it's not actually only about the ACV, it's about the full formula. And sometimes you might not be able to get the ACV up, which is a typical Jason Lemkin quote, right? Like, everyone needs to do outbound. If you can't do outbound because of ACV, get your ACV up.
Yeah.
Then do outbound. If you can't get the ACV up, there might be some other areas that actually improve in order to get to the output, right? Yeah. So really think about it like this, and then definitely put it into contrast with, you know, where else you're getting money from.
Yeah.
And then the last thing on this one is the reason why everyone is using outbound is it's almost impossible to tap out on outbound. But it's very possible to tap out on most of the marketing channels.
Yeah.
It's very possible. Outbound is very difficult, actually. Right?
Yeah. I think the other pieces here also here, like, how early are you on the journey and how much have you scaled?
Yeah.
Because ramp times in that scenario will matter, right? There is a ramp time of, you know, 3 months before you start seeing consistent output. And then there is the sales cycle length where those opportunities need to progress.
Yeah.
So you kind of need to factor in a couple of things when you do that analysis.
And I think my position on this has changed just a wee bit. Talked about this with Raul kind of the other day, I think at PacCon actually. One piece is here, well, you can listen to those calls. You can, you know, sit on some of those opportunities and you know if your team is booking good stuff or not.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear this the first month, the second month, the third month. You don't need to wait full ramp up plus sales cycles in order to see deals coming in. You can just listen there and say, hey, is this good stuff or is it not? That gives you an indication already there, right?
Yeah.
But then the complete opposite. Today, talk to someone that has 9 to 12 month sales cycles. They have massive ACV, so that totally works out. But they also have an SDR motion.
Yeah.
And they're currently like, you know, is it the right thing? Is it not? And the thing is, sometimes, and I've seen this now a few times, sometimes the SDR motion kind of kicks in almost the second or third cycle.
Yeah.
Right? You have those opportunities you book like a year ago and suddenly see they're closing. They're closing. Maybe now they came inbound, or maybe, you know, some AE reached out and rebooked the old opportunity or something like that. Mm. And suddenly they're closing. Yes, that SDR is not going to get commission. Yes, in your CAC payback, that's not going to show up as, you know, attributed to outbound and so forth. But would you have gotten that conversation with anywhere else than outbound? Probably not, right? So you sometimes, and I'm not saying this to keep people running, you know, behind like a fool's errand or something like this, but sometimes it's like the second or third cycle where this really kicks into gear.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because when you call someone up and they're kind of interested, it might just not be the right time for them right now to react to the problem. So yeah, it might just take a little bit for that to mature and then come up, right?
I think the other piece is also, if you're considering cutting it, you need to realize that there's going to be some knock-on effects.
Yeah.
You're going to have some hungry AEs all of a sudden, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that also needs to kind of be trimmed a bit, but you need to understand what is going to happen downstream.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And I think then, you know, almost when you go to the next point here, how do you increase individual productivity? I mean, that's it's pretty difficult. Yeah. I don't have a great answer for that.
Just
to be honest.
Is he? Just, I mean.
So I mean, I heard this. Heard this the other day. Someone was basically kind of just yelling at the team. You just need to work harder. I don't give a shit. Just work harder. But you know, hey, those people left. I don't care. You just need to work harder. And that's not going to work out.
No.
I think what you can do, and this is a very CRO thing, kind of Olaf and I were joking, it's like CROs really just fire people.
Yeah.
That's a solution.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, if you take out the low performance, then yeah, the productivity of the team is going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, guess, I mean, surprise.
Yeah.
So you can trim your way in that direction. And then there's like, you know, probably all kinds of productivity tips that I'm not great at giving. Firing.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay.
And then I think the last thing, which I think is kind of an interesting one, is I think this notion of product market fit is not a binary thing. You don't have it or don't have it. It's evolving.
Yeah.
I think that reality is clear for people. It's like, you know, there's a new competitor or something else happened, or, you know, what we thought was a 10x feature a year ago is table stakes today,
yeah,
right? That stuff evolves. So you need to be on top of product market fit indefinitely, basically,
yeah,
right? The same is also true for go-to-market fit.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if some of the underlying inputs change. For example, it's now 3 times as hard to book the same opportunity as 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's basically like, your 10x feature 2 or 3 years ago pulled in a lot of deals. It's not doing this anymore because everyone has it.
Mm.
It's the same thing that changed. We're just not so accustomed to things changing on that scale. It's no, we can trust that. You know, that's the same thing. But here's something that's kind of moving the goalpost. And suddenly your calculators all need to reset. And it's like, well, does it still work for us, right?
Yeah,
let's just say you can't do any of these things. Well, is this still the right motion for you? And it could be that it is yes, but only if you get ACVs up. Or yes, only for the bigger ACV tickets.
Mm.
You know, the smaller, the SMB mid-market team, maybe you need to let go of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of these inputs, they need to be basically reconsidered now that the chessboard has been readjusted, right? And you can try and fight against the tide of like those 1,200 activities per op, which I don't think is fully true. And you will get it down. I promise you will get it down, because most of those 1,200 activities are like 100 auto-sent emails in 1 second anyway. So, you know, there's something like that. But ultimately, you need to figure out, well, if I have this formula in front of me, I can't get any of the conversion rates up, I can't get any of the productivity up, and my ACV is the only thing that's a variable here, and you can't move that either, then yeah, you probably need to think pretty hard about this.
Yeah. I think it's also just, you have to realize that the market cycle we are in now all of a sudden is not as easy. Like, money is not lush.
Yeah.
Software licenses are being put under more scrutiny. And because an organization just went through cost cutting, that naturally makes people more conservative to buying. And so, you know, what happens if it used to be that you just hire someone out of college and the onboarding was, here's your laptop, here's your phone, here's your password, dial.
Yeah.
Then sure, that might have worked then. But today, it's almost like an anti-pattern to watch out for. If that is your approach and there is no coaching, training, enablement happening of new people you bring in or even the existing team, you're bound to fail eventually.
No, and I actually also think so. I mean, people are still selling software. Don't get me wrong, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Growth rates are down, yes. But, you know, basically the market as a whole is still buying software like crazy.
Mm.
It's still double-digit growth, similar to the last 10 years, basically. So it's still all going in the right direction. I think what just happened is the barrier to entry just went up,
yeah,
to a degree, right? It's like, yes, the person, the director of sales that you made the pitch to a year ago, 2 years ago, and who was like, yep, I like it, I want to buy it, you sold it to her, everything is great. Now it's like, no, I need to talk to the CFO,
yeah,
like in all cases. And that's basically kind of your typical sales process that has been your sales process for the last 5 years. You know, from picking up the phone to sending the contract to the director of sales, it's not your sales process anymore. It's the CFO now behind it. And you're kind of still playing the same playbook as when that didn't happen, actually. And that is what's moving your go-to-market fit around. And that's what's impacting all of those numbers.
Yeah, it's like now you have, it's changed to the point where now you have 6 to 8 people on average involved in a deal on the other side. So yeah, I mean, things have changed.
Yeah, and you know what? It's good decision making.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I like it, by the way? No, no, I don't like it. But it's good decision making and it's good scrutiny. And that's how we actually should be buying B2B software. I mean, what we've seen the other last 2 years, I mean, it was literally, you know, when you're at this in a supermarket and in the checkout aisle and then there's like all kinds of candy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called an impulse buy.
Yeah.
Why do you just grab it, throw it on the thing? You bought it. Yeah. Did you want to buy it? No. But I think there was a lot of impulse buying going on in the last 2 years and, you know, not so much thinking about, does it really help us? You know, do we really need this? Can we really not do this any different way? And I think that has been going back a lot.
I think it's also because you had this growth at all cost mentality. And then with every vendor promising you growth, then it was like, okay, maybe that's the new pattern we need to take. It's like APM software, go, right? And then you go and buy it, implement it, it's like, ah, work like ish. We got one deal. Yeah. That's just, I mean, when does it expire, this tool? 2 years? Okay, let's just let it run.
Yeah.
So it's fundamentally different. But I guess what we're saying, this can totally work. It's not dead.
Yes.
There's just a lot of hard work in front of you, depending on which of the cases you're potentially facing.
I think so too. It's a lot of hard work. You need to figure out how to stand out, and buying Apollo and applying the latest AI, whatever, and then self-click. I don't think this is how you're going to stand out. I think everyone is going to do it like this. I think you need to find other ways, and it's get your ACV up, you know, improve your playbook, make it more integrated, make it more targeted, and you know, try and figure out does the motion still theoretically work?
Yeah.
And if you write out the formula and it doesn't, then yeah, you should probably reconsider this. Mikkel.
I just wanted out some music so we could, you know, enjoy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you everyone for listening. Bye-bye.